I can show you the world.
Happy Halloween. What are you dressed as today for Halloween?
That's right. I woke up and I didn't realize it was Halloween. I'm going to be La Vaca today.
Oh my gosh, where's the costume?
For the episode, I did not, you know, I could get something right now, actually. I could change. And you are channeling Elsa? Arabian Nights Elsa.
Oh, well, the NDA is lifted, y'all. I am playing Elsa in the next Highball Productions musical of Defrosted. So you can come see us at Shaw's Tavern on December 6th, 7th.
Wow. So 6-7 is taking over the world. And I guess I had no idea how big of a deal it was until I saw an auditorium full of kids doing it. And it just sounds, and they're doing it all harmoniously. How many times a day do you hear that today? Like,
yeah, they definitely do it to seal that hamoon. I think that I'm in high school, so I don't hear it a lot. It does happen, but it's not like a lot because, you know, your high school is too cool. You know, elementary. Middle school,
they're having fun with you.
I feel for you. Everything is a 6, a 7, a 41 that may also lead to 67. I don't know. We had different memes. I feel like 2025 was so fun. For how many years was that? 20 years, right?
I mean, was the first meme on 2005?
No, the 25 meme.
What 25 meme?
You know what's funnier than 24?
25?
25.
Is that a joke currently or back in the day when you were a kid? Elsa?
It's so funny. I feel that it will have a resurgence. I think something that's super valuable right now, such a hot commodity right now, something invaluable right now, is nostalgia. When every yes. time there's like tyranny and a terrible time, art and nostalgia is all that matters.
What's something that you miss the most about being a kid, especially on TV. Halloween?
I don't know. Just like dressing up, you know. I don't get to dress up anymore. Why you still do
that,
darling?
You get paid to do that now. You're not just a child.
I literally.
Well, you are a version of a child star.
No, I literally am DC's JonBenet. I was like talking with a coworker about her kids. I was like, oh my God, your kids still do Halloween. They still dress up. They're so old. They're in fourth grade. I mean, I was like, I still dress up, but still. Like, when does it stop? I guess dressing up is like really cool and in now. Like, we didn't have cosplay growing up, so now it like is in. So I think that's like super cool for the
You generation. Hate it when people have an imagination for themselves. You hate whimsicality while you are dressing up like Elsa. I think you're never too old to dress up for Halloween. I think right now the morale is low for Halloween. I think it's just I haven't even thought of what I was gonna do for my costume. Everything that I've done has just like been spur of the moment, and that's unfortunate because it's my favorite holiday. But it's been difficult for me to get into the Halloween spirit. I do have a pumpkin. I have two pumpkins in my apartment to remind me that it's that time of year, though.
They are plants, aren't they? Wait, yeah, fruit, something.
No, well, they're. Whatever. I mean, yeah, they're. I feel like they're the.
Oh my God, can you grow a pumpkin kind of. In an apartment?
I checked because I have it under a grow light, and ChatGPT confirmed that it would not sprout anything. It might change wow. colors just a little bit, though. For anyone that's interested in plants and anything like that, fun fact of the day.
Thank you, Miss Frizzle. Oh, I think that Halloween, I don't feel like I have a lot of like nostalgic memories of Halloween. Like, I was not, like, I was not anti-Halloween, but I wasn't like... It's a Halloween as a child. I feel like more comfortable into it when I got older and then I could really start dressing up. I don't know. I just didn't feel comfortable at all as a kid. So I feel like I don't really have a lot of big memories other than, you know, sometimes when I dressed up. Do you have any iconic Halloween costumes that your family knows you for?
There was two. There was one where I dressed up as Power Rangers when the Power Ranger movie came out, and I was like the ninja one, the black ninja one.
If you don't know, in the 90s, everybody was required to dress up as a Power Ranger at least
at
once.
Some point.
No matter what. At any point, no matter what, you just had to, whether you liked it or not.
And then I found a...
You were the black one?
Yeah.
Appropriating. That early?
Shut the fuck up.
I was, you know which one I was? I was the red one. I couldn't be the girl.
Obviously, I wanted to be the red one, but then
I wanted to be the yellow one or the pink one. So obviously. What do you think I was given?
I wanted the red one because my red's my favorite color, but unfortunately, my parents got me the black one. And I feel like it's because their red one was sold out or something. But what was, and then I got in like fifth grade, I got this gnarly, scary Halloween costume, like Halloween mask. And it was scaring all the kindergartners in the Halloween parade.
Fifth grade. Y'all too old. What?
Oh my God. What military bullshit is this? Ew.
Oh, girl, capitalism. Man, that's crazy.
Define this Halloween costume, please.
It was actually so ugly. It was like you would just get in like a big like circle white bulb, and then like on the headband would just be like a weird Casper thing. But you can see my face. It was crazy.
That is so cute. Can you please send a picture? I would love to see
I remember one Halloween costume I chose, and it was a ninja. And if you do a ninja, I feel like everyone was a ninja at some point.
Yeah, well, I comboed it.
I had nunchucks, and then that was like the last time I remember trick-or-treating.
They gave you
was like
weapons? The movie?
Yeah. I'm streaming now. And then the last one I remember, I hated. Pikachu. Hate it. Hated it.
Wait, you were Pikachu? That's cute. How old are you?
Oh, my God. I was probably like 8, maybe.
Okay.
7, 8.
Okay.
It was terrible. Because Pikachu, they made it like Pikachu, a little fucking mouse with legs that are this big. And I could not, I was waddling and I could not keep up with the other kids. I was sick. I was like, I hate this fucking costume. I do not want to do this ever again.
Yeah.
I just feel like I was not into it.
I never got the crazy, like, uncomfortable costume. That's too much for me. Absolutely not. Oh my God.
How many knives and razor blades and drugs did you find in your candy?
Oh my God, no. Did you ever like trick or treat like in the rich neighborhoods?
I couldn't tell the difference between theirs and mine. I'm just kidding.
Okay, okay, she's rich. No shade. I knew Nunu was rich. I know Nunu was rich.
No, honestly, I just feel like I was in a cul-de-sac and we just went around to the other cul-de-sacs. Yeah, that was it. And then, like, one time there was, like, this trick-or-treater van.
Because you didn't want to walk? Or is it, like...
Yeah, I honestly think, like, y'all know me in real life. You know, walking around in the dark is still not my deal. That it did not give. Walking around begging for something in the dark, it don't give. It don't give to me. It does not give to me in any sense of the world. It still does not. I'm so sorry, y'all. I hate it. It doesn't make any sense to me.
If you had kids, would you not, like, take them trick-or-treating?
I would prefer to take them to like a trunk or treat. Like I'm going to go to a specific place and we just walk around this little circle. But like, I'm not going to people's houses. No, I would go to the Halloween event.
Well, I mean, is trick or treating a dying art form? In the cities, I guess it is. And even when I was in the country, like in North Carolina, I remember when I was in like my first year, not trick or treating, when I was in eighth grade. No, I stopped trick or treating before that. Like probably. Like
I hope
grade.
So. Big ass kids.
I remember.
God damn.
I blacked out.
How are you gonna have a whole mustache trying to trick or treat? That's great.
That's crazy. I was not much, but I do remember being in eighth grade, and I was like, and someone trick or treated, and he was definitely my age. I was like, girl, you're too old. But yeah, there were so many trick or treaters, and now recently, my parents say that they get the candy, and not many kids come. So I wonder if it's a dying art form. I'd be very disappointed if it is, because it is just like fun, even though you call it begging. That's crazy.
It's not. It's not.
It's a tradition, and it's free candy.
It's not.
First of all.
Right. Get your own. There was really one time where there was some event and then my mom was like, we can go to the store buy some. I was like, great. Like, I'll just give me the bag. Like, I don't need to.
Georgetown must be a nice place to hit up here. Like, Tenleytown with those like, ooh, let's go. Let's go trick or treat. Let's take you. We just partook in our own form of like adult trick or treating. We ran the high heel race.
We got to actually participate and attend the high heel race, a long-standing DC tradition. The high heel race was insanely short and long at the same time. People are literally like, how long is it? And I'm like, 2 blocks. But like when you run it, it feels so much longer. No, it felt like a marathon.
thought that kitten heels were, you know, a joke. No, kitten heels are not a joke. Okay. They still matter and they can be very challenging, especially for first baby drag queens. I do think that if you struggle in walking in heels, then you should start in kitten heels and build your way up. Because that's I felt so like comfortable by the end of it. I was like, okay, I can do this. I still took them off very quickly because I don't trust heels. But it was so fun to walk it. People were so fun, nice. Obviously, we met with our lovely Mayor Bowser. And so it was so cool. It was really fun.
It was a key. I really want to say this for the city and the times we're in. You need joy. You need joy. And the hospitality industry is suffering so much in D.C., as we all know.
Absolutely.
And to see so many people, to have a nice, safe event, to see different vendors, different wine tastings, funnel cakes, different just opportunities to engage in the community was really important. Honestly, and it was fun. It was like the block party at Pride, but like less people. And it was cozy because you were in costumes or you were dressed up. I loved it. It was like family oriented. It wasn't too much. I just enjoyed it. I really had a good time.
I had a blast. I realized you didn't even have to register, by the way. Like, we really did not. You didn't register.
Well, I didn't plan to run the race. I told to please get content. And then they don't do no real, like, lineup or startup. Like, they were talking. They were like, all right, go, bitch. Like, I thought there was going to be, like, a woman, you know, someone with an up sign, do, like, a little pew, upstate, you know, like a start or like a little firework, and they were just like, yeah. And I was like, what? That was crazy.
Yeah, it was really a nice shift in the day for me, for sure, because I did get laid off recently, and so that day actually, and so like it was really nice to kind of shift the gears, because obviously right now is like a very challenging time for a lot of us out here, and we're all being affected by this presidency in some way or other. I think greed is being taken over. I think companies are really showing, like, bitch, we're gonna conserve, we're laying off, we're gonna pinch every coin and maximize every ounce of your labor. And it's very unfortunate to see how like things are shifting in the community. And this is, and I didn't even work in the government, but I worked in the hospitality industry, and there was definitely a shift in this Trump era where I just see the greed in so many different ways. Like,
yeah.
So.
Yeah. I think that it's so weird for, you know, a country that is so about holidays and consumerism to do all this stuff to its citizens right before Thanksgiving and Christmas, all the holidays, whether it's the SNAP benefits, whether it's just laying off folks. I feel like the only real solution is to not cancel the holidays. I mean, do you think we should cancel the holidays?
I mean, if I don't find the job, I'm canceling my holiday, because I was like, girl, no. No, I don't think that we should be participating in the Black Fridays. I think there's so many different ways we can try to plan things as a family that don't require this much capitalism. And maybe there is something out there that can help that. But like, I wonder if, like, what would you substitute a Christmas with? Is it travel? Would you travel to a different country? You know, would you, like, if you could.
I'm really canceling a holiday. That is the holiday, dude.
I'm saying, like, you don't go for the holiday, but you say, no gifts. We're not buying into this country. We're not buying into this company. We're just going to take our money elsewhere and travel.
Well, I don't know if you remember. I think there was, like, some episode of Family Guy years ago in the Christmas episode where Santa's so overworked because of decadent capitalism, and so he's only able to provide the world like one gift, and people just have to be like, you know, okay, we're getting that one gift. I think that solution works. I also think that, you know, at this point, a majority of people have, you know, everything they need. You know what I mean? You don't need a new game system. You don't need all the new fancy clothes. Like, a lot of households have a computer or the iPad or tablet. So, like, you have access to games and electronics and things. I don't know that we necessarily need a lot of extra stuff. You know what I mean? So I,
yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, sources of where you're sourcing your gifts. Like, are you getting your clothes from, you know, all these fast fashion companies, all these places that are, again, very consumeristic? Are you going to like what's it called? Consolidation, whatever? Like those really nice thrift stores, or thrifting, or just being like, you know, or supporting actual small businesses and they're that are actually like honest and supporting nonprofits. There's so many things that you can support nonprofits and your family with that provides such a great gift. So I think that that would be a great solution to everything. But I think that people are, I don't think as many people are going to line up for Black Friday because just times are rough. And we may even see a decline in travel.
Right. But I mean, how y'all going to travel when ain't no one paying the TSA? Y'all bitches wouldn't be flying if it was me. Couldn't be me. How am I getting to the motherfucking airport to do my job? Y'all ain't paying me.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's just so, at that point, like, there's no taking care of our people. Like, this is just so disheartening. And like I said, the morale has been so low. And like I said, everything is about alignment right now. And I think, you know, if I was a TSA agent, girl, I guess I'm not going to work. I guess I am applying for jobs. And because at the end of the day, but I guess you are always waiting for the government to shut down. And what if you quit? And there was no anticipating it would last this long. But it's just sadistic. And it's a dark era in our country right now. And I, like I said, it's very, yeah.
I think that we have to definitely hit it where it matters, which is the pockets. You know, Target, look at Target stock, look at all how yeah. I mean, jobs they have to cut, and they have to replace the CEO because of the boycott, because of the DEI. All that stuff works, and you really have to hit people where it hurts in order for them to make understand it. So I definitely feel like we should only be supporting local and businesses that support us, look like us, and give back to us. Honestly, I just think we just have to stop spending and you really hit it when it hurts.
Well, let me tell you, what I've seen in my recent experience working for directly under an owner of a business, and not a small business, I'm not even saying small business with this company, because it's a company, is that when the man on top notices a cut in something, they're not going to settle for their losses. It's about cutting labor and maximizing work. And so I struggle with this with boycotts too, because it's like when you're boycotting companies, it's really kind of come down to the person that's in the front lines of the company that is going to affect. It's going to affect their hours and their wage. And so that's a really, really harsh reality, is like,
yeah, I'm an educator. I meet with parents, and right now a lot of my parents are government workers and they're at home, and this affects kids. And, you know, people are picking up jobs like Instacart and working at BJ's. Not there's anything wrong with it, but, you know, there are people in big houses and families to support, and just unprecedented without jobs. And it feels like it's affecting everyone in my circle, especially when you live in the DMV, right? Government jobs historically used to be the safe ones, right? Secure jobs, get a government job. That is no longer the case. It's a shift in culture, truly.
My heart goes out to anyone out there that's literally not getting a paycheck or not in the position to get a check. On to where do we? Oh, well, that
led well, you would to the onto something less scary. Halloween.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Halloween has been so overshadowed by how sad and really scary the world is right now that it almost feels very dystopian to celebrate Halloween, because you're like trick or treaters right now, right? These kids are gonna be trick or treating, and then seeing military men carry like guns around. Like, what is that? That's a reality.
At the High Heel Race, we did see the National Guard there.
Yeah.
It's dystopian. And I've been thinking about that, honestly, recently, for just being a horror movie fan. You know, I feel like a lot of horror movies aren't scary anymore. But then I think about, like, what is scarier than, like, reality right now? Like, what would really scare me?
I remember when I was running to my train at Union Station, and I was parking my bike and I was turning around and I almost ran into one of the National Guard and he had a gun that was the size of my like whole body. And I was like, that is just so weird. What if I would have actually bumped into him and I would have bumped into a gun? Like, that is so assault rifle, actually. That is so, again, not what America was when we were growing up. But it does feel like this is the recession on steroids. I feel like we can't even call it a recession because it's like so much more deeper than that. But we're in a recession, y'all.
You have to call it what it is, a Great Depression.
This is worse. Yeah. Oh, I mean, this is a cycle.
It's not worse. It's not worse than the Great Depression. But it is historically linked. As we all know, everything comes around the cycles, especially around the 100-year mark. So we're 100 years at the same time as the last Great Depression, and this is our version of it. I am trying not to get slashed, not only by this economy and this terrible administration, mostly by all the horror villains that are out and about on Halloween, All Hallows Eve. Are you ready to dive into some iconic horror villainy?
Take me on this journey. Do-do-do-do-do-do.
Rashi and I are big horror fans, we love going through the iconic. So I thought it'd be cool if we were able to go through some major villains in the horror world and really think about what lessons they teach. Like, wait, don't do what? Like, what are they teaching us not to do?
I love this. Okay, let's do it.
So first off is one of my favorites. They've done a lot of movies. And they are the ultimate faggot. This is Freddy Krueger.
I thought you were gonna bring a picture of him.
Bitch, what do you think this is? Motherfucking mirror on the wall, bitch.
I thought I was gonna see.
You know
a
what
picture.
The fuck Freddy Krueger looks like?
Oh, Freddy Krueger.
Who is Freddy Krueger? You know, since you're such a horror fan, tell who is Freddy Krueger? Do you really know about him? Who is he?
Played by Robert Englund, is an icon, is a legend. His story is very sinister in the fact that you could just cut and dry say that he was a child molester. But as far as the original lore of Freddy Krueger, I don't believe that was it, but I might be wrong. But definitely Freddy versus Jason, they solidified that. But he's just such a funny slasher. And I think in the representation of horror, he definitely represents that like very dangerous man that is funny, charismatic on one side. He uses his charm to get you to do what he wants, and then he, you know, could hurt you. So I think that's a true representation of what it is.
How can he be charming?
An icon, a legend. Welcome to prime time, bitch.
I think, was that the Freddy voice or just you have something in your
throat? Huh?
Yeah.
Teehee. What kind of faggot in a Christmas dress?
Right. I think of Freddy Krueger as such a queer icon, honestly.
Literally.
Because
of the charisma, unique deserve talent.
Yeah, I think he serves. When I think of Freddy Krueger, I think of Johnny Depp and that crop top. Very hot.
Yes.
And then him I think dying. Of like the hands coming through the mirror and grabbing people. Yeah. That was cool. I think of the remake of Nightmare on Elm Street that everybody hated but me. Rooney Mara.
Yeah, Nunu says she's a horror fan and then says that she liked that movie better than any other actual Freddy Krueger movie.
That was like Robin. The one I saw in theaters, and it's just a special place for me. I was genuinely like scared. I was like, oh my gosh, this man is killing your dreams. You can't sleep. Bitches gotta pop pills to stay alive. Like, that's real horror.
It was very boring. Let's just call it what it was. It was boring. I had nothing against the new Freddy Krueger guy, but I can't even tell you what he was.
What lessons did we learn from Freddy Krueger?
Oh, dig deep with the charisma. Where is the charisma coming from? You know, just like look at the whole picture. Don't think this is a dream, honey. Well, the lesson of the whole movie, the lesson of...
That Freddy Krueger teaches you.
I think the lesson...
All this is based on, like, lessons,
The lesson is just showing you the patriarchy. Like, showing you how it works. How, like, the male gaze works. And the victim and all that kind of stuff. So I think it's the lesson is don't trust a man with a smile, bitch.
Wow. Thank you for sharing and enlightening the audience.
What do you think the lesson is?
The lesson from Critty Krueger is pretty obvious, which is quite literally not sleeping on your problems, but like not ignoring trauma. Like the whole point of the movie is that everyone was like ignoring the trauma and pretending it doesn't exist, and then it just comes back. You can't ignore that hurt. You can't ignore those feelings, y'all. You have to feel the feelings and move forward. I think that was like the whole point of it. That's why everyone kept repressing stuff and couldn't sleep, because like they couldn't get past what actually happened to them. So once they get past it, he goes away. Like Freddy Krueger is just trauma. And if you resolve it, you can go back to sleep.
Okay, that eight. You knew that? Or did Merriam-Webster over here, or should I say the modern ChatGPT, give you that soliloquy? I know.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you, but when I saw the remake, they focused on the child molestation and being like, damn, we shouldn't have told these kids and pretended it exists.
Okay.
Not the movie focused on redemption.
Okay. No, I still think that similar theme applies, but not as an extreme and dark. I think there was a lightness to the original movie. But, okay, next.
Thank you. Next. Now, this, I have never seen these movies, so okay. I don't know too
these
much.
Movies? Okay.
I don't know too much about him outside of being a DLC character in Mortal Kombat. But Jason Voorhees, Friday the 13th.
Yes, daddy.
Lol, let me think.
The bear.
This is Camp Crystal Lake, right? This is Camp Crystal Lake, right?
Yes, actually. But also, for the real fans, y'all know about Camp Higgins. And I think there's a third camp that is referenced. But Jason Voorhees is an icon. He's a legend. He is a mama's boy.
I don't really know too much.
He's a mama's boy who was bullied at a camp, and then he was bullied into falling into the river. He couldn't swim. He drowned. The mother came back and killed. The first Friday the 13th, obviously people know it from the lore of Scream, that it was not Jason, it was the mother who came back and killed all the counselors. But then it was a sequel where he was reborn. And so there's a very supernatural element to Jason, but Jason is so iconic. He's been he's been played by so many different characters or shapes or guys. They've gone from like really scary outfits to like one was just like khakis and a button-up shirt. It was so embarrassing.
But they're just silent men, right?
He's just a silent lumbering man that uses his brute strength. And that's what someone said in like a TikTok. I saw that. I was like, you know, like we laugh at these movies because some of them are so bad. But like, if you think about it, the concept of someone chasing you with a mask who's huge is so terrifying that like I would die right there. I wouldn't survive past the chase. But Jason is just daddy. He's great. I think it's just so unfortunate that Paramount can't get it together and make a fucking reboot of and give it such a strong, like, legendary story. Imagine, like, the familial trauma you can resolve. Like, the themes of an overbearing mother.
Yeah, like, I'm shocked that they haven't done a reboot. All the reboots, the sequels, they be pumping out this bitch, like, they ain't touching Jason at all.
There's so much missed opportunity. You know when all the, like, the fucking Menendez brothers shit, that monster, and then recently they had Jeffrey Dahmer, like, hello, these are themes that are happening, recurring, like, familial trauma. That would hit right now. So...
yeah, that's a good idea.
Friday the 13th, get it together. But yeah, that's the theme of Friday the 13th is just that. But
so
I mean,
what's the lesson then, Reed? I feel like the main lesson is pretty clear of like wait, don't get revenge. Like, I feel like holding grudges, wait,
I mean,
don't hold grudges.
She did get her head cut off in both the reboot and the, oh, your tits are stupendous. The reboot is so like kind of iconic, and it's one of my like easy watches. I might watch it tonight, actually. It's just such an easy watch, and you know what's gonna happen, and it's such an easy, entertaining movie. Highly recommend for anyone that doesn't want to go too deep with movies and want to laugh at like a stupid movie. And that's what I wish. It came out at the wrong time too, because I feel like people would appreciate that movie more today.
Yeah, people love camp now.
Yeah, very that. Even though Michael Bay's terrible, by the way.
Well, he don't hold grudges. Well, he don't do revenge. I don't think there's anything else I could get from him, but I don't know. You can't move forward if you're stuck in the past, I guess.
Yeah. Therapize him. I mean, he needs to.
Well, the next one is someone very similar. Now, I have watched some of these movies with you.
Oh, my God. You also, real segue, I'm realizing you would totally survive, especially in a Jason movie. You would definitely survive. Your character would survive because you would totally mother him. You're like that final girl. You would mother him. He couldn't kill you. You would literally therapize.
The next one is, yeah, easy, classic Halloween, Michael Myers. Now, I have seen, how many Halloweens have we seen? One or two together, right? There was two that came out during the course of our friendship. So I know we watched two of at least those two.
No, three came out. I mean, no. Yeah, three came out during our friendship.
What?
Yes, because it was a trilogy. I didn't know you in 2007 or 12 when the last one came out, or 2009 was the last one that came out before that. So yeah, 2018, 2021, and then 2023 or two. Michael Myers deeply is my baby. I stan Michael Myers. Michael Myers is my favorite slasher. I want him at my funeral.
God, no. Dolly wearing that Michael Myers mask at the reunion. When they even do that Michael Myers mask for Rolly, it's such a key. Michael Myers.
Yes,
it's
Michael such Myers.
What is that mask? I still never get it.
Oh my God. It's the guy from Star Trek. It's his face, whatever his name is. The white guy from Star
Trek.
Star Trek. Oh my God, I don't.
William Shatner.
William Shatner mask. It's a William Shatner mask.
Oh, I thought it was like a president or something.
I think it's like painted white. And it was iconic. There's been so many renditions of that one too. Halloween 5 remains the worst mask. Halloween 5 was the worst mask. Oh my God, it was terrible. I think the modern mask is iconic. Even the Rob Zombie mask is super iconic. And he's had so many shapes. Rob Zombie's version of him was super brutal and that one, it was like just the themes of that was like, you know, the childhood trauma, repression.
Yeah.
But it was just such a stupid, I can't watch that one anymore.
I definitely remember the one where he like escaped or something from like a prison or something, like in the cars and like killing those people. All to get back to Jamie Lee Curtis. I don't get it. Jamie Lee Curtis to me is not that important, but
my God, you want to talk about a fall from grace? Jamie Lee Curtis is a fall from grace for me. It's so disappointing. No shade.
Because she's a Zionist?
Yes, alone. That alone. I couldn't relate anymore. I was like, oh, fuck. Because, I mean, let's be clear, Laurie Strode is such an icon. It's just one of my favorite childhood movies. Loved it. And I remember that's the first horror slasher film I watched, and it terrified me as a kid. And once that happened, I threw it behind a couch so my sister wouldn't make me watch it again. And then I remember, like, digging it out for, like, two years later or something like that. And then Halloween Resurrection came out, and that was, like, the first one that I remember being excited to watch.
My gosh. No, my favorite one was with Kyle Richard.
Okay, she's been in multiple. Just throwing names out there.
That one. I saw both of them, so, you know, that one.
Multiple. Both. It wouldn't even be half of the movie she's been in.
So what can you learn from the your horror icon, Michael Myers? What's the lesson?
There's a lot of lessons to Halloween. I think Halloween was the first foundational piece. Friday the 13th was before that one,
exactly.
But like sexual, like, you know, the kids that have sex, definitely get killed. But if you're like the nice, like subtle girl who's like very like graceful and shy and quirky, you're gonna get to the end.
Like
you're the survivor. There's definitely like elements of like final. That was like the solidify of the final girl, but it is a level of repression, a blank slate, the root of evil. What does evil look like? So many things.
I definitely feel that. I feel like it definitely ties onto like the dangers of like emotional emptiness and like, you know, I just feel like this is a mask. Like it just represents that emptiness, and you just gotta like, I feel like if he had more vulnerability or if he was like open, then we would not be here. So I think the lesson is like being open, not masking your feelings, you know.
And it's also that repression of like, I'm going to kill what I can't do, which is like the kids that are having fun and having sex and all that kind of stuff. Obviously, those are always the first to go and they always are like really brutal. And also like knives are so like phallic at the end of the day. So that's why like, let's be clear, slasher films are slasher films for a reason. There's no guns. Anytime someone dies from a gun, I hate when people count that as like a valid death. I hate that. I hate that. Scream 5, I'm looking at you. That was like very bold. That was very bold.
Oh my God. I think the next one is like the first thing I was like afraid of. Like, I think it's like the first movie series I was like, oh, like I'm afraid of this. I don't want to watch
Annabelle?
This. No. Now, I love Annabelle because she's just like me, a messy bitch. This is Chucky. Obviously, I'm not afraid now, but as a kid. You're afraid
of Chucky? That's so cute.
I was terrified for like, it took me a while. Like a while.
That is so
like
cute.
Definitely towards like the end of high school. Like once the scene of Chucky came out, I was like, okay, it's now, like camp and funny. But like it took me a while.
Bride of Chucky? You were scared of Bride of Chucky?
I just think dolls are freaky, and I think it's not dolls are freaky. Chucky is freaky because he's a killer doll that's dressed up really nice like me, and he just kills you. So you know, and I actually have seen I think almost all the movies. Like I definitely watched Child's Play, I definitely watched like Bride of Chucky, I definitely watched all that, and it was just freaky. My mom always like, why are you afraid? It's just Chucky. But I was just like, it's just too much. Like, you can't kill him. I think that's what my issue is. Like, I was afraid because, oh, I can't kill him. If I see Chucky in real life, bitch, me putting him in the oven, me running around him, is not doing nothing. So, like, now what?
I do have a picture of Chucky proposing to, oh, my God.
Tiffany.
So, that is, I just love Chucky.
Chucky's so funny.
Chucky is so funny. I should have never smoked today. What's his name? What's his name that plays his last name? My God.
You know, I know nothing. I know Jeffrey Tilly. And that's it.
My God.
I think that Chucky, I feel like, changed around once he got to that evil side. Once he started to always look that, when it was like, huh?
Brad Dourif.
Yeah, I think it was easier once he got to that like scary side of him, because then he was always like that, and then he was like just funny. But that whole like middle side of being evil and nice.
Child's Play 2, when he fucking kills that teacher, was scary. That was a scary scene. I remember being that.
Yeah, because he like would get away with like a lot.
Yeah. Oh, so you hated someone that was just messier than you.
Yeah, literally.
And
I was like,
those are great themes. Those are great themes too. And of not believing kids. I think that one
literally gaslighting people. Like, he was like very smart with it.
Yeah.
But I think that was obviously like his downfall, right? And I think that's like the lesson. Like, Chucky is funny, but he's also an asshole because he's like arrogant. He's a narcissist. He only cares about himself. He thinks that everything he does is just like the best thing ever. So like, that's really the main lesson here, right?
Yeah.
Don't let your ego possess you, because he's just like insane. But then Tiffany's equally insane. But they get better once they're together and they have a child. Because trans rights, okay? They are advocates. They are loving, open parents. And I love that direction that we went with them. But it's not as scary as it used to be. But Chucky's terrifying. And he's small. He could be hiding in a closet and just come and get you, bitch. Oh, my God. I couldn't imagine. Hiding in a pile of clothes. Oh, my God. Think about that.
Especially as it faded, I think that theme like kind of resonated. Because then once he got that scary phase where it was like, all like stapled together, I think that's when that cover was blown, and I think it shifted to like that, like the Bride of Chucky theme, like love and being in love with a narcissist and what that looks like, and the people pleasing that Tiffany does for him.
Oh my God, Tiffany's an icon.
Tiffany's an icon. Jennifer Tilly,
icon.
I love her. Did not watch that season she was on Beverly Hills just because I didn't want to like lose any luster. I don't think she would have lost any luster. It was just a bad season too. But still icon, lovely. So Jennifer Tilly, yes. So who's the last
one? Are you ready for the last one?
Zoom in.
The most obvious and last Ghost one. Face. Exactly. Ghostface Killah, the one who's inspired so much. I think Ghostface is such an interesting one because, like, he's nobody, right? Doesn't exist. Doesn't actually exist.
It's a different person.
No personality. Does it? But, like, we have all this stuff. We have rappers, Ghostface Killah. We have Scream, this iconography. We have everything. It's a genius design.
So Scream remains still, I think, my favorite movie, like my favorite movie franchise. Collectively, that franchise is unmatched. And not one movie's a skip. Let's be clear. Not one movie's a skip. Not one movie's a skip.
I agree. Multiple movies are. I fully agree with you. Your multiple skips. A couple skips.
So iconic. And there's so many levels to that movie, too.
Wait, which one's the stupid one? Three?
Well, people say three is bad, but I think it's...
Which one's the one where she goes to, like, that college or something and goes back or something? That's pretty rough.
She goes to college in two, and then there's a college one in five.
But no, what's three then?
Three is the movie set, like, when they're, like, this, like,
yes,
super
yes,
bad
that's
one.
The one I'm talking about. The theater. Yeah. That one.
The theater is the second one when she... Okay, Nudu loves to do this.
I'm not talking about the theater when Jada Pinkett Smith gets
okay,
in.
I was about
the
to
theater
say,
when
Nudu loves to...
Don't do that. I know. I watched that
I
movies.
Was about to say, because...
No, the one in the theater, they were, like, rehearsing the play. I remember, like, they were, like, trying to do, like, the shot. I remember.
No, that's Scream 2, too.
It's three. I know it is.
The movie set where she'd be chased by her mother, that one's Scream 3. And then they're in that big, like, you think it's a theater, but it's that behind back room. That is
yes,
probably
that's
what
I'm talking about. Yes.
That's not a,
yes.
I don't think, well, they put it on a projector. He put it on a projector.
Yes, like that room.
Iconic. But also that movie kind of ruined meta, like the lore a little bit for me.
It did. That one was terrible. And then Emma Roberts had to save Scream 4.
Confirmed that she's a Zionist racist person, but Jenny McCarthy in that movie was so... She did her two scenes. She ate those two scenes up, but she's a terrible human being. But yeah, love Scream. It's the most meta of them all. I guess it's about, like, reality.
I mean, everyone always knows, and I always say, I obviously Scream is, like, not my favorite. I love Scream as a concept. I think, obviously, it's terrible in execution, and I think the best version of Scream is always going to be a scary movie, because that's exactly what Scream is.
Shut the fuck up. Okay.
I would rather get to it. I guess the Scream is too much of the building for no reason. I'm like, girl, let's just have fun and do it then, because...
It's Scream.
My Ghostface is
movie.
My Ghostface
is
the one in scary movie. It's
Scream
funny.
Is
it's
fun
dangerous.
Scream is a funny movie. Trust me. It's a funny, funny movie. Laugh.
But Scary Movie 1 does Scream so well. What did I say about the shoes? You don't step on Gail's shoes. Gail wear Prada shoes.
Shut the fuck.
Y'all don't get it. It's so genius.
You are so...
I'm gonna slash you, gas you, cut it in a hole in your ass. Okay? Y'all can't. It's what Scream
Take it,
is.
Brandon. Take it, Brandon. No, that's what Scream is. Oh,
but you know what Scream had given us?
I did that. Oh, fun fact. If y'all want to come to do a movie trivia while I'm there, that was a question was, what boy name does Ray scream during that sex scene? And no one got it. I was like, hello? Context clues. It was just a bounce off of Brenda.
But what I want to say about Scream is that one thing it did give us, especially as queer people, is this really hot, bloody scene with Matthew Lillard and that other guy who doesn't matter. But
okay. What we're not gonna do is I'm struggling to remember his name too. Right,
because it doesn't matter. But Matthew Lillard,
no, he's
an icon.
Daddy. Oh my god, have you seen pictures of him now? Are you kidding me? I saw pictures. Literally, he just went viral for how sexy he looks. He's aged in reverse.
You see what happens to white people when you're not problematic, just
and
doing
his
your
face
thing.
Is oh, he's Billy. Well, his name is
Shaggy.
Billy in the movie.
Shaggy.
Oh my god, I didn't know you were such a Matthew Lillard fan.
I'm a horror fan. Scooby movie, Scooby Doo, still horror, still live action. It was horror for the girls. The first Scooby Doo movie was scary. Let's not be clear. Monsters, shit was scary.
First of all, the fact that Sarah Michelle Gellar and Matthew Lillard have multiple like references.
Yeah, it's so iconic. But oh my god, let's get to the lesson. What is the lesson of Ghostface? or Scream? What do you think?
I mean, the lesson of Scream was don't answer the phone. It was definitely came out around a time where they were saying, like, blame the movies. The movies are, like, ruining our generation, is causing violence. So it was definitely, like, the themes are... also, there's no adults. Notice that there's a lack of adults. So I think the screams, that theme of like when there's no adults or like these could be consequences of an absent parent, because parent were definitely constant themes with her mother. And yeah, and then Billy's mom stepped out on him. So there's a lot of things with parents on that one.
I think the main lesson would be not to ignore the red flags. I think in Scream, the killer is always someone you know, and it's very obvious. So I think it's just like not to ignore very clear signs of sociopathy, psychopathy, or just when people are just being crazy and messy. Like, you don't, just because they're family or just because they're being friends or just because of whatever, that doesn't mean that they won't hurt you or betray you. So it's just being aware of those red flags, because it's very obvious, I feel like, a Scream. My gosh, we've learned a lot of lessons in our Wait, Don't Get Slashed episode of Wait, Don't Do It. There's so much going on, and I feel like Halloween teaches us about duality, right? Fear, fantasy, death.
I love Halloween. Halloween's definitely gay Christmas. I love Halloween. I hope everyone celebrates their own way today. But yeah, I think it's definitely the fun holiday. I think it's the holiday for the tight beers out there. And it's about the kids that have imagination.
I love Halloween. It's definitely top two for me. I love it. I think I just like the idea of dressing up and seeing the creativity. I do. And ultimately, the Halloween and these villains, is mainly the villains, teach us the main lesson of all, right? Which is, if you don't communicate, if you don't heal, if you don't
villainize,
work on yourself, you're going to throw it on everyone else. And that's literally what is the ultimate evil.
Each other right now. You know, let's keep the peace amongst, let's not betray our class for $15,000 more. Okay. Let's just.
Where can they find you, Raffi?
Oh my God, y'all can find me so many places. Obviously, Ray Raffi Reggaeton Brunch. Come see us November 22nd for our Y2K themed reggaeton brunch. I'll be at, if you're listening to this today, I'll be at Uproar this weekend or tonight with Taste Takeover. I'll be hosting their abuelita or whatever thing, costume contest. And then I have Maremoto and Tintas DC on Saturday, which is tomorrow. It's a fun like celebration of Latino performers. We're gonna like have a lot of live performers. There's gonna be poetry, there's gonna be face painting for the babies. It's a very beautiful event, and we're gonna have a karaoke section, so you're gonna get to sing your heart out and mourn those that you love and miss. And then we will also have Goza. We had DJ Molina on our podcast last episode, and I'm excited to DJ with her. I'm actually gonna probably practice a set right now after this, just to get ready. I'm really excited. Goza, it's gonna be. We're also gonna have an altar for Dia de los Muertos. We're gonna be praising Selena. So come through with your best Selena gear, I'm just super excited, y'all. I'm really, really excited. Yeah, come through. And again, if you're looking for a DJ, I'm a guy.
It is your girl, Nunu Paris. And I am obviously so excited to finally announce that I will be starring as the title role, Elsa, in our drag parody, Defrosted. We are tired of all this ice in our city, so we are excited to defrost it and give a great show. The tickets are on sale now at highballdefrosted.com. You can obviously follow Highball Productions DC for more information, but it will be at Shaw's Tavern. So if you want some dinner, you want to see an immersive live drag show, come through on December 6th, 7th to see us. Let it go.
That is so wonderful. I was super excited. I love the reference to ice. I'm really excited to see where it goes. From what I've heard, the choreography is going to be pristine. It's going to be cold.
It's going to be such a key. such a good team, such a good time. And again, please keep following up with us on all our social media. New episodes every other week. So I can't wait to see y'all for the next one. Remember, wait, don't get slashed out there.